This episode is sponsored by InTech RV. InTech has a whole line of trailers, something for everybody. They have the Soul line, the Luna line, they have Flyers, they have Octas, and
OVRs.
Overs.
And they have plans for new trailers too. So pay attention to InTech RV. They're paying attention to us. They're paying attention to you. And they brought you this episode of the RV Small Talk Podcast.
Are you going to take out that weird noise I made?
No. I don't know if I am allowed back on the island yet, but I set up the recording equipment. It has been quite some time since the two of you have let me record a podcast with you.
I know. I miss our gang.
So PJ, I'm stepping in.
Please.
Back
please.
On the mic.
Well, and if you don't, this is going to be a really weird podcast because you are the geek that knows all about what we're talking about. So
I know
what are
how
we
to
Googles. Well, and and you can read the words and understand them. So, because you're that guy, you are a detail guy. So what are we talking about today?
Well, I was thinking we just had a rather cool event. A celestial event, if you will, the solar eclipse, and we happen to be in the area where you could see a total solar eclipse. And you know, the sky has mattered to everyone throughout the ages for travelers. I mean, finding their way, checking in on the season changes and what have you. So why not look at, of course, eclipses, but other solar celestial things going on that may be of interest to people who like to travel as well. Maybe it's a reason to travel, and we can talk about the things you can see and where you can go see them.
Sounds cool. I'm ready to learn something.
Me too, because I just printed stuff.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you, Clint.
Welcome to the RV Small Talk Podcast, where we talk about the people, places, and adventures that go right along with the tiny trailers and truck campers that you may buy here, there, or anywhere. I got that all mixed up, but I think you all get it. They had me off the microphones too long. I digress. We are your hosts from Prince Craft RV. I am Clint.
I'm PJ.
And I saw a total eclipse yesterday.
Of the heart.
It was so cool.
It was so cool. I just have to say, I knew it would be cool, but I just kind of laid there on the concrete with my mouth open. It was kind of crazy.
That's what everybody kept saying. They kept saying, well, I didn't think it would be this cool.
Yeah.
I was like, are you serious?
Just the fact that other solar eclipses I've been around, they weren't total. So you didn't have that level of darkness for 4 minutes. I mean,
it's
you got a nice
eerie.
Power nap in.
I mean, it was eerie.
I have never seen a total eclipse, and most people haven't. I mean, it's not a thing that you get to like pick and choose every now and then. You know, it's not quite like going to the Bloom Festival and saying, been there, done that.
I've driven in South Texas, so I've seen quite a few totaled eclipses.
No.
But
that's a joke if anybody missed it. A dad joke.
So I mean, just to get this started, we are in Central Texas, which is a pretty good place to be for this past event on April, was it yesterday 8th? Is it 8th, right?
Yep.
On April 8th of 2024, if you're listening sometime in the future, which I hope you are, because it's hard to record these things and have you listen the other way.
Do you know, I found it really interesting that CNN had all of this coverage for like 3 days from Bandera, Texas, which is where we have all our rallies.
CNN was in Bandera.
CNN covered eclipses from Bandera, Texas, the cowboy capital of the world.
They got muckety muck on their boots, I can tell.
Well, I don't think there's any way around it if you're in Bandera.
So let's talk about some of the things that you can see just by looking up at the right time. And maybe we can talk about why it might be worthwhile to go see these things, to make it part of your travel plans.
I think we always think about, I don't know, things to go do and things to go see when we're saying, where do we want to camp now? I know that's what I do because I've been a lot of places and there's always, you know, more things to see and do. And what's up in the sky is always cool to see.
Sure.
And
you know, historical things have always unified us. We go to places that have old traditions and old communities and what have you, and old buildings and all that. And you have a sense of kind of connecting with people from a past time. There's nothing more connected to us than something as long withstanding as the stars.
The stars are super old.
It turns out. and people have been looking at
and
them for a long time.
How old do you know? Because I have no idea. I mean, just a lot of old.
They're older than you, Grandma.
Well, I hope so.
So,
you know, do you have the app where you can hold it up and see all the constellations?
Yes,
and
I do. I think I currently do. Sometimes my apps come on and off my phone depending on space and all that, but I think I still have it because my last big family trip last summer was specifically to see stars.
Really?
That's the whole reason I went out to the Davis Mountains and McDonald Observatory was I wanted my kids to have their minds blown by stars. So I looked at the lunar calendar. Mm-hmm. When is it going to be a new moon so that it's not adding extra brightness to the sky? And that was the whole point. Drive to West Texas to see stars. So
wow.
That's why we did it.
Well, I used to have it on my phone too, and it's not there anymore, or it quit working. I can't remember what.
Oftentimes I find with my phone, if I'm not using it for a while, it offloads it and you have to download it again. It's like you have the icon, but you still have to do something. Oh, is that what we were talking about, Lindsay?
Hey, we got a whole lot of stuff to get through here, guys.
Okay, but I think, you know, the total eclipse was yesterday.
Yes.
And all the planets lined up. We also had planetary alignment yesterday.
Like eight planets or something like that? I don't know.
Eight planets lined up. It was really this great convergence of all this cool stuff. And so I woke up in the middle of the night with these weird dreams. This Lindsay's going to kill me because this has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Oh.
And my phone had popped on bright and it was giving me all of these words and Chinese and all kinds of languages, and then it said bonjour, then it said hello, and I was like,
you had a software update,
and I was going, what is happening? And my mind was like, this is, I mean, I just started having all these moments.
That's
and then
hilarious.
I realized, wait, my phone's updating.
Yeah, that's an update. I
and
actually
it was like
did
two
the same
in the morning.
Update two nights ago.
Wait, so weird. Your phone updated and you thought it was the apocalypse?
I had no idea. But I woke up and the phone lit up like right after I opened my eyes. And then it starts doing all this writing on the front like the Apple phones do when they update. And I was, you know how you wake up and you can't remember where you are?
Yeah.
I kind of had this moment of, what is that? Oh my gosh. Oh, someone took over my phone. Oh, wait. Maybe something did happen yesterday. I was just all crazy.
Wow.
Okay, so
I had a dream that I was traveling in Machu Picchu and then someone was nuzzling me and woke me up. I opened my eyes and it was the alpacalypse.
Okay. I think that's all the dad jokes we can handle. Oh, but thank you for making my long story funny at the end. All right, what are we going to talk about? What can we put out there that's useful information for people who want to connect to the heavens?
Ooh, well, they're listening to the wrong podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Well,
I don't know.
We'll talk about something here. Okay, so obviously it's not that common for us in our lifetimes to see a really good example of a total eclipse.
What?
Because they don't happen, because it's a very narrow band of Earth that gets to see the whole total eclipse. So there's other eclipses. There's also the partial eclipse, which we've seen before. In fact, last October, we saw a near total eclipse, but it didn't get dark and the animals didn't act all crazy and all that.
Right.
So that's a partial eclipse. Then there's total, and then they have this like this hybrid eclipse, which I think is just a total eclipse from the side.
What?
When I read about it, if you look it up, and anyone can look it up because it takes like a second. You have total eclipse, partial eclipse, and hybrid eclipse. And the way I read it is, if you don't see a total eclipse, you're seeing a partial eclipse, but someone who's in the right area is seeing a total eclipse. It's just a hybrid eclipse. So I don't know. It's a Prius of all eclipses. Hi.
Okay.
And then you have lunar eclipses.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is a lunar eclipse?
Well, that's
where a planet goes in front of the moon.
Well, a specific planet.
Our planet.
Yeah. Whoa, okay. Quit laughing at me.
When we get so completely between the sun and the moon, and
we're like, break it up, you guys.
Yeah. But before we go too deep on the schedule of lunar eclipses that you may be able to travel and see coming up, let's talk about what the solar eclipses that you may be able to travel.
Oh, I see. You have a schedule
here.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
So, and we're going to try to put some of these images in the show notes. And I also have links I'm going to put in there. Like what we've been talking about so far is from science.nasa.gov/eclipses, more slashes and words. So October 2nd is an annular eclipse, but you're going to have to drive. There's going to be some areas in North America and whatnot, but it's mostly going to be marked South America, Antarctica, Pacific Ocean, and stuff like that. So,
and that'll be a partial solar eclipse.
Yeah. March 29th of 2025. You're going to have to you'll be able to see it in North America and South America. You're going to have to cross some water otherwise.
And then you're going to have to wait till March. So there's a partial solar eclipse March 29th. And 2025, the next year. And that will be visible from part of North America as well. Mm-hmm. There's another partial September 21st, 2025. That one is... You'll have to be in Australia for that, or Antarctica. So,
or in the middle of the ocean. I wonder if you can see it from Hawaii.
You should watch it with Wilson.
And look, the next one is February 17th, 2026. And guess what? We don't get to see that one either.
So that's a different type of eclipse. That's an annular. And that is where the moon is on its path. It's significantly further away from the Earth. That way, even though it passes pretty much through the center of the sun, it is perspectively smaller. So you still see a bunch of the sun around the edge. And they call it annular because it's like a ring or a wedding ring or something like that. So it still would be a total eclipse if the moon were closer to us versus farther from us.
Or if it was just bigger.
If we just add some water, it'd swell up.
Just grow it a little bit.
Yeah.
So really, out of all the solar eclipses coming up in the next year and a half, now that people are interested and kind of curious about all this, the only one that really, over the next 18 months, is visible where we are is going to be October 2nd in 2024. Mm. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. There is an eclipse on August 12th of 2026, and they say some of North America will be able to see it. So we're going to have to, I have, like I said, links that will be in the show notes. So if you're looking for a total eclipse, it's going to be a narrow band. What did we learn? I think this one at its widest was like only a band of only 50 miles. Really got the true experience.
That's crazy small.
Yeah.
And we were in that 50 miles.
It's called the umbral shadow, where it gets totally dark. The umbral shadow.
And I have to say, it was super weird that it got this really weird shadowy... I mean, it was like, it was a graveyard scene.
But it wasn't the same as when the sun goes down dark.
Yeah, but it got dark so quick.
Yeah.
We just had this weird kind of black and white, two-dimensional feel. Yeah. And all of a sudden it was dark.
The last little bit of light until the moon was in place, it really did. It felt like seconds. It just kind of closed off.
And then all of a sudden it was dark.
And you notice how eerie it felt going into the shadow and coming out of the shadow, because it desaturated all the colors. Everything started to take a real muted kind
of look. Is that what it was? Why does everything look different?
It's because the different frequencies of light, if you will, I'm using the wrong word there, but they desaturate. You don't have the full spectrum of light or as much of it. So everything just kind of looks, like I said, muted. Grayish.
That makes sense.
So
it was crazy, and you wouldn't get that if it's not a total eclipse quite as much, but you do get some of that. And it is very cool. We saw the partial eclipse last year,
October.
It was really cool to see. So I might plan a trip around October 2nd to figure out where that is and where we could best see it and go see another partial eclipse.
Right. And it's so hard to get to a total eclipse that most people only get a chance maybe once in their life, maybe.
There's another one in 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
20-something years, 20 and a year.
So there's going to be one in 2044. And then I just shared an article on the Texas Tiny Trailer Rally group yesterday because the clips were so cool. I wanted to look up more stuff. Mm-hmm. That there will be one in 2025 that is really good in Colorado. So 2025, if you want to go ahead and make your reservations now, Colorado is going to have a really good total eclipse event, and it's going to cover a lot of the state, and it's going to last longer. It's going to be about 6 minutes, whereas what we saw just yesterday was about six minutes.
Yeah. And that is next year?
No, 2055. I can't speak. I'm out of practice.
2045.
Yes.
So 20 years in Colorado. Mm-hmm. The place to be, guys. Mm-hmm. Make a plan. Put it on your calendars.
Absolutely. Okay, back to the lunar eclipses where we get in between the sun and the moon.
Okay.
And so, it turns all red.
Yeah.
Ooh, a
so
red moon.
In the lunar eclipse, basically, we're not seeing something block something else. We're seeing our shadow on the moon, right?
Yeah, yeah, largely. And what's interesting is that light doesn't necessarily always follow a straight line. Whenever it's going around large objects like the Earth and whatnot, it can actually take kind of a bent path, because you would think that it would completely, the Earth getting between the sun and the moon, we're much larger than the moon, so you would think that it would just make the moon go completely dark. But it doesn't. It goes kind of reddish. It darkens and goes kind of reddish. Because some light is still making it to the moon. It's just certain wavelengths of light are kind of bending around the atmosphere of the Earth.
And we're staring at the moon during a lunar eclipse, right?
Right, because the sun is behind us on the other side of the world.
Right. So you don't need special glasses, is that what you're saying?
Yes, no special glasses.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because red and oranges have longer wavelengths.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the blues don't, and they get lost. And so the moon looks red.
Right, right. It's like permanently wearing really dense blue blocker sunglasses.
I think that's so cool. So cool. So when are there lunar eclipses, total lunar eclipses that we can see?
The next total one that I have on my chart is March 14 of 2025. We should be able to see it Pacific, in the Americas, Western Europe, and Western Africa, which is a lot of the Earth when you think about it. It's not nearly as narrow a path. I guess it's because the
Earth is bigger.
Right. The juxtaposition of which celestial body is in which position. I mean,
Are you sure there isn't one September 18th? Did I read that wrong?
That's a partial.
Partial.
Oh, partial. Okay. Yeah.
So does that mean the moon is partially red?
I don't know that it turns the color of the moon all that red, but you'll see that the shadow of the Earth, you know, it's not like a waxing or waning moon where it's just a crescent. Uh-huh. So I think you will see the darker portion might be reddish.
It'll be a shadow. It just won't be a black and white like a solar eclipse.
Yeah. And the fact is that it's a moving event. So you can actually, other than it being an emotionally moving event, it's a moving event. So you actually watch the shadow as it moves across the face of the moon, whereas a typical moon on the lunar calendar, if you will, it's like, well, it's so much percent waxing, it's so much percent waning, or what you have. And so it doesn't, all night long, it pretty much looks the same. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is, you can watch it as it's occurring. And that's really interesting.
I had that question yesterday. Can someone chase the eclipse?
You can to a degree, but it's really, you'd have to be pretty darn fast.
Oh. If you just like went in a line.
Yeah. Not as perfect line because it's curved.
Right.
You'd probably have to be, in a plane?
Yeah, maybe Concorde kind of thing, but they don't fly those anymore. So.
How cool would that be?
Yeah.
Chase the darkness.
That's a song somewhere, isn't it?
If it's not, it ought to be, right?
Chase the darkness, and the Metallica starts playing Ride the Lightning. So, okay. All right. So what else should we be traveling to see?
Oh, there's some cool stuff up there. What about comets?
You know what? Growing up, I didn't know to look for these so much because it was always looking down I could find comet.
What?
Cleaning toilets and bathtubs.
Oh, it makes your teeth turn green, Comet. It tastes like Listerine, Comet.
Does it?
Gasoline.
Comet. I don't remember the words. I'm just trying to think of things that rhyme with een.
Kerosene. Oh, yeah. So the comets, it turns out these things, I mean, we know what they are. They're basically big balls of dirty ice from way back when our galaxy was formed.
But now they're on fire.
But well, you know what? I wouldn't say on fire, but it's interesting because they don't have a tail most of the time. So it's like this, it's not a meteorite because it's not rock. It's a ball of dirty ice flying around in these really large, large loops. Some of them take not hundreds of years, but thousands of years, maybe even millions of years to come around. So they're still discovering these things. But until they get close enough to a heat source like the sun, it's just a ball of ice with no tail. But when it gets close enough to the sun, it basically turns the ice in the comet to a vapor instantly. And that's where you start seeing the tail form. And it can be thousands of miles long. And that's the tail of the comet. And they're tracking these things. There's comets in the sky right now. It's just some of them are so small or so far away, they're hard for us to see. So you have to go to this site that I have listed here, www.space.com/comets.html. And they will help you to track all the hundreds of comets that are in the sky right now. You might need binoculars for some of the bigger ones. You might need a telescope for the slightly smaller, further away ones. Or you might need help like an observatory otherwise.
And if you need that address so that you can actually find it, look in mm-hmm. the show notes, because it'll be there on the place mm-hmm. to find the list of the comets.
Yeah, there are a few comets that of note right now. Right now, they call it 12P or Pons Brooks. And it is visible right now or soon. April 21 is when they're kind of saying it's going to be at its best. Closest approach to Earth, June 2nd.
Hey, that's my birthday.
Is it? Happy birthday. You're going to have a comet.
I get to have a comet for my birthday?
Yeah, it's just named after Pons and Brooks, not you. And you'll be able to see it in the Northern Hemisphere. Southern Hemisphere will get it later on. It has a one star behind it, so it looks good.
That's also the brightest one this year,
mm-hmm.
according to your notes.
That's right. I tried to bold things so that we could pick things out.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. And it's visible to the naked eye. You can just look up and see it if you know what you're looking for.
And a nice thing about comets is you should be able to see it anywhere from the contiguous lower 48 states or even Canada or what have you. Anywhere in the northern hemisphere, you should be able to see it in the night sky.
So do they tell you every night?
Do they tell you what time?
For that span of time, as long as there's no cloud cover or no other bright lights causing light pollution, for that span of time, you should be able to see it in the night sky any of those nights. It's just that there will be better nights when it's, you know, brighter or more visible.
Well, how do you know what time to look up?
It's probably when you should go to starwalk.space/ I'll have that link in the show notes.
Okay, so a comet is just going around the Earth?
No.
Just around in space.
Yeah, and basically what you see, they're passing through our galaxy. Some of them stay within our galaxy, and they kind of go in and out beyond the asteroid belt and beyond that. But they could be going even further loops outside of the solar system, and they could stay way out there. Like I said, some of them may take mm-hmm. millions of years to make a circuit. There may be humans who may have never seen some of the comets that are inbound at this time. So they're always discovering more comets as they're coming into view.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. So this comet Pons Brooks, mm-hmm. which is, I'm sure, named after someone. So I want to point out that they say in April, it is the brightest, and you probably can see it with the naked eye. Mm-hmm. Now, when it gets to be June, you can still see it. It's closest to the Earth, mm-hmm. but you may need binoculars.
Right.
Now, I don't understand that. Is the comet getting smaller?
I think it's because of how it's where it is in relation to the sun. The sun makes it brighter. So it's all in relative terms. What, you know, we see how much light is reflecting off of it in its tail. And the closer it is to the sun, the more debris is coming off of it and the more reflective it is. So I think it's not so much that it's closer to us makes it easier to see. It's closer to the sun makes it easier to see.
Okay. That sort of makes sense. It does say it has an orbital period of 71 years.
So you better catch it now.
71 years. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to skip this next one. It's called Olbers, but look it up. It's on that link that I'm going to have in the show notes. The one that I think you really want to pay attention to is this one with the three stars. It is called Tuchinswan.
That is not Tuchinshan?
Tuchinshan. So that's the thing about comets. They're named after who finds them.
Right.
So I'm going to guess that this is someone from Asia. I haven't found this
Wait. You don't get to name it? It's just automatically named your last name?
Yeah, even if you don't want that.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's not true.
I don't believe that. I've seen the movie Roxanne.
Roxanne? I haven't.
Steve Martin has a big old nose?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it has to do with comets. Maybe she's trying to find a planet. They're astrologers and they're trying to find. She looks for a comet so she can name it something. I don't remember.
So she's an astronomist.
Not
astrologer.
Yeah.
No.
She's a difference. She's a Gemini.
Yeah, that's different.
Anyway.
But this comet that we can't pronounce.
Yes.
It has earned the title of a great comet because it's exceptionally bright.
Wow, that sounds like something they tell you in school when you're pretty average.
Trying to make you feel better.
Yeah. This is the GT comet.
Yeah.
Do you think this comet has really sensitive feelings?
Super great, y'all.
So look in the fall sky, September 27th. The closest approach to Earth will be October 12th, which is my mom's birthday. And this is the one to look for. If you're going to look this year, this is the one. In North America.
End of September and early October for the Tuchinshan Atlas.
Wow.
You done good.
I did not, but I said it so they would know.
Okay, but who needs a meteor when you could have...
Wait, you're saying that backwards.
Yeah, who needs a comet?
Who needs a comet when you could have a meteor shower?
I love meteor showers.
Me too.
Isn't it the best?
I like comets. I think they're cool, but a meteor shower is something that it's just fireworks kind of going across the sky. You know, it's like someone in heaven has Roman candles.
Pew!
So...
Well, you get to make wishes.
Oh, that didn't cross my mind.
Yeah.
Meteors are caused by streams of cosmic debris called meteorites entering Earth's atmosphere at extremely high speeds on parallel trajectories. The next meteor shower is April 21st through 22nd.
All these are happening. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening right now.
So, yeah, that's like... really soon.
Mm-hmm. But meteor showers, there's always like they say certain areas where you see them much better.
Right.
So is that in our notes here? Because when they have a great meteor shower, I want to know where I need to be besides someplace without a whole lot of city lights.
Where you want to be is www.amsmeteors.org. I'll put the link in the show notes.
Cool.
But this next meteor shower, it says the moon will be 96% full. Does that mean we will see less meteors because the moon is brighter?
That can make it more difficult. Just because you want the sky as dark as possible.
So we love the moon until it gets in our way.
No one likes to get mooned at the wrong time.
But no, moon, put it away.
The thing about meteor showers is when you get a really good one and you're in a special location with special people, like my first memories of meteor showers were at my grandparents' ranch, and they knew it was going to happen. So they set out the lawn chairs and we'd do, a fire, campfire, whatever, right in their yard because they had a ranch. And that was my first memory. It was out in Burnet, Texas.
Burnet.
That's right. And memories. Perfect for family and friends.
But they're great for camping. You know, you just lay out a blanket, you lean back. Mm-hmm. It is amazing if you're camping in a dark spot, what you can see. And it's just mesmerizing. Mm-hmm. So there is one that is going to peak on May 4th and 5th, which is not very far away. And the moon will only be 14% full.
That'll be a good one.
So that is a great time to go camping, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
May 4th through 5th.
Mm-hmm. Let's go camping, Lindsay.
Oh my gosh, there's a ton of them.
All right, there's another one in July. It's the Alpha Capricornids. Capricornids.
It's the crap. Sounds like something you don't want.
But it's another one. It'll be July 30 through 31. And the nice thing about it is a moon that is only 20% full.
So, man.
And the Perseids in August.
I bet there are people out there who like meteor shower chase. There's one November 4th through 5th, mm-hmm. and the moon mm-hmm. is only going to be
11% full.
11% full. Sorry, I could not find the number fast enough. My eyes were like glitching.
Yeah.
And wow.
The one that always comes to mind to me is the one in November, the Leonids. That one always comes to mind. And this year it shows that you don't want to watch it because the moon is 94% full.
This one says the Taurids, which is the November 4th through 5th one, mm-hmm. are rich in fireballs. And I just love that sentence.
What does that mean?
I have so many fireballs. It means there will be, it's active.
Yeah. I think that just means, you know, depending on the size of the material falling through the atmosphere, the size and whatever it's made up of, it's just, you're not going to have so much the thin, you know, hair-like streaks. You're going to have larger, more bursty kind of things to look at in the sky.
So if you guys haven't figured this out, this is the layman's version of what you can see the sky.
Yeah.
But stuff that we thought was really cool. And when we started looking it up, we thought we'd share it with you.
Mom, this isn't an astrology podcast. Come on.
I know.
I can't read your horoscopes.
I hope not.
We're just trying to inspire ourselves and others to go chase, you know, stars and whatnot.
There are meteor mm-hmm. showers like all the time. Yeah. I had no idea.
All the time. Even when it's not a meteor shower, you may still catch a shooting star, which is just a meteor.
It's a baby meteor mm-hmm. shower.
Just a single one.
A meteor sprinkle.
They've been alone long enough. They're like, I'm done with this. I'm falling to earth.
I'm out.
Burning up in the atmosphere all alone.
But meteor showers, I think, are really good for kids.
Yeah.
You know, they're really good for kids if you get a really strong one and there's, you know, enough activity going on, then I think it's just a real good introduction to camping and laying out right. there in the dark and staring at the stars.
The wonder of it all.
Yes. And in the middle, you can hold up your app and you can figure out where all the constellations sure. are. And I just think it's a great time, even for teenagers, because, yeah, they don't see enough of that. We're all too busy looking at our screens.
Right.
So there's the old lady version. I think meteor showers are the ticket for families.
I like it. Like it.
Yep.
So this is one that PJ tried at least to go see. And this is not a celestial event. This is more of an atmospheric event. But it's a good reason to travel and look up is why I added it to the list. It's the Northern Lights.
Oh, yes.
And every picture I've ever seen of the Northern Lights says, go see them. And I haven't done it yet because it's a bit of a trek.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole thing. It's not like taking your camper a couple states over to see an eclipse.
Right. But you could take That's your camper true. North enough if you plan accordingly. I mean, you can definitely get to parts of Canada or Alaska and
see I thought
see
you
them.
Could see them like New Mexico.
No, those aren't northern enough to be the Northern Lights.
We don't want them Southern Lights.
No, what do they call those?
Southern Lights.
I don't know, but
have you ever seen the Southern Lights? Wait.
They do have Southern Lights, I believe, like the Northern Lights. It's just not as much civilization there to care.
We should look that up because I've never heard of it. I have heard of the Marfa Lights.
Yes.
Which, Lindsay, you probably don't remember it, but we have sat on the side of the road back before there was a place to park to look for the Marfa lights.
Yeah.
And we didn't see any.
Oh. So are the Marfa lights not...
They're more
Borealis?
No, they are not. No. They're more of a mystery. They have more like...
But it's the same thing.
No, they haven't really figured them out. So that's hence the reason people think they're UFOs. Yeah.
Yeah, so. But they are... People have some ideas of what they think they are, but really, yeah, not quite sure.
I had no idea. But I have never seen just... them. The same thing, just in a different place.
Yeah, more than Northern Lights? I don't believe so.
Huh. And with the Northern Lights, we were in Iceland, and I tried real hard to see them and never got the opportunity. I did have some people who saw them the night before, but I didn't see them. It isn't like you can plan a meteor shower visit or anything like that. You just never know you're going to see it.
Do you think people that live where the Northern Lights are, like, do you think they ever see them and it's like, oh yeah, this again? Like, do you think it's ever not like...
Yeah, I think humans get desensitized, unfortunately.
Maybe.
Can you imagine?
If you grew up with them, like if you from birth just lived up in that high a latitude, I think that's one of the coolest things about living here, and yet it might not blow you away the same way as someone who gets to see them as an adult or something like that once in their life.
Well, that might be true. However, I mean, it's kind of like seeing a rainbow. I mean, when I see a rainbow, I still look at it and
that's
go,
true. Yeah,
absolutely.
Wow,
that's true.
It's so cool. And I just stand there and I stare.
Same thing with cows. I still yell moo at them.
Yeah, no,
hey,
that's not
cow.
The same thing.
No.
But rainbows are super cool. And no matter when and where they happen, I mean, you kind of sit and stare and watch, and then you keep looking. Are they still there? Ooh, it's getting brighter. Ooh, look, now it goes all the way
around.
There's
a second one.
And, there's a second one. I mean, you never go, it's a rainbow.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think it might be kind of like that.
Sure, sure.
That makes sense.
So, I do have here from www.space.com, again, the links in the show notes for all the web pages and details. Northern lights are created when energized particles from the sun slam into the Earth's upper atmosphere at speeds of up to 45 million miles per hour. But our planet's magnetic field protects us from the onslaught. Ooh, that makes it much more action movie like.
Thanks, Captain Earth Magnetico.
That's right. And then the next paragraph says, as the Earth's magnetic field redirects the particles towards the poles, there are southern lights, too, which you can read about below. The dramatic process transforms into a cinematic atmospheric phenomenon that dazzles and fascinates scientists and sky watchers alike.
Where can you see southern lights?
In the southern.
Okay, so I get it. So it goes towards the pole. So
Antarctica.
That makes sense.
If you want to see the northern lights, you have to be in the aural zone.
Okay.
Auroral zone. Auroral zone would be for ears. So. Auroral zone. The area within approximately 1,550 miles radius of the North Pole.
Okay.
So, go north.
Iceland must qualify.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's where I was supposed to be able to see them.
Yes.
Or hoped to see them,
just
which I didn't.
Timed it wrong on that trip, but go again.
Hey, that's right. Got to go back.
Okay, so I did, after listing these celestial and now atmospheric events, I did put down some of the best sky-gazing destinations in the U.S.
Yeah, so
that's
you can
what I want to know.
Be in the right spot
during
these meteor showers or
if you just want to see the stars.
Right, if nothing is going on, the sky is still pretty damn cool.
Yes.
I love the way this says... These mind-blowing places for stargazing in the USA offer uninterrupted views of the sparkling night sky.
This comes from timeout.com, link in the show notes. And Lindsay, tell us about
Central Idaho Dark Sky Reserve. So I actually learned, not recently, it was a while ago, but I learned from working here that there are actually places called like dark sky parks, dark sky areas.
And I think we did a podcast.
Yeah. And there's different levels and you have to be like certified so you have no light pollution. Anyway, I thought that was absolutely insane. So I think it's really cool. So this is Central Idaho Dark Sky Reserve. It's in Sun Valley, Idaho, and it's over 1,400 square miles across Idaho. And it's one of the largest pools of natural nighttime darkness in the U.S. So go.
If you're looking for a reason
camp in the
to
dark.
Put that sticker on your U.S. map saying you went to Idaho and you can't, you're like, why would I go there? And you've been missing
yes.
it. Go for the stars.
There you go.
Go for
Shoot
the stars.
For the stars.
Get your sticker on your map.
And since it's one of the largest, they have all kinds of events and stuff, star stuff, astronomers. So that seems cool. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Big Bend National Park in Texas. I know where that is. It's an international dark sky park. Big Bend is just so massive mm-hmm. and fun to explore. I definitely want to go back. So it's remote. It's over 800,000 acres. The largest protected area of the Chihuahua Desert.
Chihuahua. Emphasis on the silent H's.
Oh.
So this is the area that I was in last summer when I went to the Davis Mountains and the McDonald Observatory. If you can get to any observatory, they're going to be in dark places.
And so, yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
So,
really,
and oftentimes they have really great educational things going on and events. They call them star parties and all that. And my kids loved going to the star party that we went to. And it is a dark sky area, and they will teach you about what that means. And they're like, all the cities around have to agree to use a certain type of city light so that it's not reflecting, it's not pointing up at all, and it reflects very little off the ground. So it's a lot of fun, neato stuff.
Oh, the McDonald Observatory is really cool. And if you are going to Big Bend, you just need to plan to stop there. It's at Fort Griffin, and it's just amazing. And what a great piece of the world to visit, you know, down south. And then you go down to Big Bend, and there is camping in the Big Bend National Park, but then there's Big Bend State Park right next to it.
Right.
And if you are a boondocker and you love being out by yourself, you can go into the state park and you can literally get lost.
Yeah.
I mean, it is incredible.
Watch your time of year when you get lost there, because it gets hot there in the summer.
Yeah,
very hot.
And it gets cold in the winter.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, Big Bend had snow last year, year before last.
That's right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy
being
world.
That far south in Texas.
Desert and cactus everywhere. It's just fabulous.
Have any of you guys been to Canyonlands National Park in Utah?
I have not yet.
I haven't.
No.
Well, it's kind of like Big Bend, except for there's canyons.
Oh. Wow.
And it is a gold tier international dark sky park.
Is
gold
that the toptest?
Gold tier?
It's got to be the toptest.
Okay.
It's one of the darkest skies.
It's one of the darkest skies in the USA. That, I want to go there.
I mean, we need to go there, guys.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And there's a million reasons to go to Utah.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I think you could go hundreds of times and still have so much to explore.
You know, I think Canyonlands National Park is not one that's well thought of. It's not what comes to mind when you say, hey, let's go visit a big national park.
I don't think it has the same level of amenities, but it has a crazy amount of just wow factor. I think that might be it. It's more desertish.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. It's not like Yellowstone or Glacier or, you know, all these well-known parks.
Right.
So, yeah, I need to put that on my list. Yeah. I would love to do
I think
that.
The wow factor is definitely there.
Just being out there, away from everything and having a dark sky.
Yep.
Sounds fabulous.
A few of the others, just to mention them, Voyageurs National Park in Minnesota, Rappahannock County Park in Virginia. There's Lassen Volcanic National Park. I love volcanoes. That one's in California. There's Great Basin National Park in Nevada. There's all kinds
North
of
Cascades National Park in Washington.
Great Sand Dunes. Yes.
Ooh, that is super fun.
Yes.
Super fun.
And Kissimmee Prairie Reserve State Park in Kissimmee, Florida.
Absolutely. And you'll notice a lot of these places are further west where you have more rural populations and more space between the large cities. It's a little easier to get dark skies and less light pollution the further west we go in the U.S. I had a few, maybe a link to, I didn't actually write them down. There's a link also at the bottom. It's to the most accessible public access sky star observatories in the U.S. So look in the show notes for that. McDonald Observatory comes to mind because I've been there. But there are quite a few
others
in the U.S. And a lot of them are open to the public. And they have fantastic education and tours and telescopes set up for you to watch or look through and whatnot. So make this a part of your path.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's not like the main reason you go somewhere, how cool to kind of work it in on the way there, stop at an observatory, mm-hmm. because you're going to be camping in dark places. Maybe it's not a dark sky park, but I don't know, kind of a cool thing to keep track of. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. Work it into your camping, as Clint says.
Yeah.
It's some cool stuff now that we have all been wowed by the eclipse.
That's right.
The sky is crazy, man.
So crazy. So crazy. So
and it's
crazy.
Up there every night. Every single night.
Just shooting balls of fire around.
It is doing that, actually.
I mean, it is kind of doing that.
All right. Well, is that it for y'all?
Well, I don't know. That is everything I know, plus a little bit that I don't.
Okay. Are you done geeking out?
Yeah, I'm gonna get to maybe editing this.
All right.
Make us sound smart. You think
this was fun? Let's do it again sometime. Remember when we used to do this?
On the regular.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it again sometime.
Everybody, check out the show notes when we're all said and done for all those links and maybe some inspiration at rvsmalltalk.com. And you can head on over to find out about our rallies, Texas Tiny Trailer Rally and the Texas Truck Camper Rally. Just look them up, do a Google search, and we are there. You'll find dates and times and events and sign up and registration. Just look for TexasTinyTrailerRally.com and TexasTruckCamperRally.com. And I think that wraps us up for this event. Actually, we have a sponsor for this episode, don't we?
We do. We do. Well, should we mention them at the beginning or at the end?
Well, let's do it at the end.
Since we're here.
So this episode has been graciously sponsored by our friends at Intech RV. They have a fantastic line of all welded aluminum cage campers that can cover you from off-road trips to more your glamping style. If you want something that can really just be a kind of an heirloom camper that is built to last that long, that you can enjoy it for your life and pass it on to your kids, Intech RV makes those.
And they have something for everybody. They have teeny tiny ones and they have big 30-foot beautiful luxury looking RVs. I mean, everything is top notch, but no matter what you're looking for, if you want a box with AC, then
that's what Clint has.
Intech has it.
Or if you want something to go off-grid with a little luxury on the inside, and it's got all the ruggedness that something that's getting off the path needs, they've got that too. So really, really crazy how they can almost have something for anyone. So check it out, intechrv.com. That's intechrv.com.
And just because it's neat, it makes sense for them to sponsor this episode because they have a model of trailer called the Luna.
Oh, that's true.
And they have a family of trailers called Soul.
Mm-hmm. Including the Soul Eclipse.
That's right. Including the Soul Eclipse.
Oh, that's true.
So this made a perfect, fit.
My favorite thing about Intech's is that some of them have those big windshields in the front, which is perfect for staring at the sky your trailer. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom. Buy an Intech. Go look at stars.
Love it. Okay, thank you very much, Intech, and thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Small Talk Podcast, and we will get another episode out to you soon. Bye now.
Bye.